I'm just gonna put this one. It's easier for me.
Okay. Maybe I'll take that. No, I'll stick with this one. I haven't even gotten started yet.
Let me just say no cats allowed. No cats allowed.
I'm not a cat. Om Gyananti Nirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Mano Gustam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamai Yam Dadhati Shapadam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamstra Shri Rupam Shagrashatam Shahagana Raghunatam Vitam Stam Sajivam Shadvaitam Savakutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jivatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kamshana Golongi Radhe Vrindavaneshahi Prashabh Hanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hori Priya Vansha Kolpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Pye Vacha Pritita Nam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnare Bhyo Namo Namo Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Or you could raise this just a little bit.
That's probably better, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I need your help once more. We can loosen this. It doesn't come like this.
That's what we wanted to do.
Okay.
Make it tight. And now we're in business. Okay. And we're looking at 434. Tad vidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te gyanam gyaninas tadvadarshan. What do we get by surrendering to the spiritual master, pranipatena, pariprasnena, by asking questions, and sevaya, by offering service. That's discussed in the next verse. I actually was looking ahead to the next verse. Yajgatva na punar moham. Evam yasusi pandavam. Yena bhutan yashesham. Drakshas yatman yatovani. Krishna says when you've understood the truth from bona fide spiritual master, napunar moham, you won't fall into illusion like this again. Why not? Yena bhutan yasheshani drakshas yatman yatovani. By that knowledge, yena, you'll see all the living beings, drakshasi, you'll see them, Bhutani, Asheshani, all the unlimited living beings, Atmani, in the Supreme, that is to say, within me, Mai. You'll see that they're all part of me, or Srila Prabhupada says, in other words, that they're mine. Prabhupada begins, the result of receiving knowledge from a self-realized soul, or one who knows things as they are, is learning that all living beings are part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. The sense of an existence separate from Krishna is called Maya. Ma, not ya, this. Some think that we have nothing to do with Krishna, that Krishna is only a great historical personality, and that the Absolute is the impersonal Brahma. Factually, as it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, this impersonal Brahma is the personal effulgence of Krishna. Krishna, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the cause of everything. In the Brahma Sanghita, it's clearly stated that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes. Even the millions of incarnations are only his different expansions. Similarly, the living entities are also expansions of Krishna. The Mayavadi philosophers wrongly think that Krishna loses his own separate existence in his many expansions. This thought is material. I'm thinking whether I'm going to go through the whole purport, because you're going slowly, aren't you? You're spending time on each verse. So I'll pick out then the points that I think were particularly relevant to the previous verse. For want of sufficient knowledge in the absolute science, we're now covered with illusion, and therefore we think that we're separate from Krishna. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. The whole teaching of the Bhagavad Gita, I'm not going to stop right there. Although we're separated parts of Krishna, we're nevertheless not different from him. The bodily difference of the living entities is Maya, we're not actual fact. We're all meant to satisfy Krishna. By Maya alone, Arjuna thought that the temporary bodily relationship with his kinsman was more important than his eternal spiritual relationship with Krishna. The whole teaching of the Gita is targeted toward this end, that a living being as Krishna's eternal servitor cannot be separated from Krishna, and his sense of being an identity apart from Krishna is called Maya. The living entities as parts and parcels of the Supreme have a purpose to fulfill. Having forgotten that purpose since time immemorial, they are situated in different bodies as men, animals, demigods, etc. Such bodily differences arise from forgetfulness of the transcendental service of the Lord. But when one is engaged in transcendental service through Krishna consciousness, one becomes at once liberated from this illusion. One can acquire such pure knowledge only from the bona fide spiritual master and thereby avoid the delusion that the living entity is equal to Krishna. Perfect knowledge. Well, let's see, there's summarizing. No, not summarizing. Doesn't take long to read. Perfect knowledge is that the Supreme Soul, Krishna, is the supreme shelter for all living entities. And giving up such shelter, the living entities are deluded by the material energy, imagining themselves to have a separate identity. Thus, under different standards of material identity, they become forgetful of Krishna. When, however, such deluded living entities become situated in Krishna consciousness, it's understood that they're on the path of liberation, as confirmed in the Bhagavatam, Muktir Hitvanyata Rupam Swarupena Vyavastiti. Liberation means to be situated one's constitutional position as an eternal servitor of Krishna, Krishna consciousness. What struck me reading this time was this emphasis that Prabhupada places on the idea of being separate from Krishna. There, when Prabhupada has this expression, parts and parcels, and our translators always want to know, what does parts and parcels mean? The dictionary says it means integral parts. An integral part. We're all integral parts of Krishna, but we're thinking that we have nothing to do with Krishna, that we're separate from Krishna, that there is no Krishna, that we're independent, that we're on our own. And more than that, we're preoccupied with another identity that we've constructed for ourselves. Our real identity is that we're servants of Krishna, and we've constructed these alternative identities in terms of the body. Oh, I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm an American, I'm English, I'm white, I'm black, I'm old, I'm young, I'm Jones, I'm Smith, I'm Upadis, all of these bodily designations. I think of myself as connected with my world. This is my world, my body, my relationships, my things. This is all real. And Krishna, there's some cult out there of sort of different religions, and people have different ideas, and blah, 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 blah. That's all way in the background. Or even if I'm religious, still it's way in the background because I'm busy on right here and now.
In terms of the bodily conception of life.
And Arjuna is the archetype. He's overwhelmed by that bodily conception of life. And therefore, I will not fight. That's Arjuna. And Krishna, of course, takes the position of his spiritual master and says, you're a fool. Because you're thinking in terms of this body, you're lamenting for something not worthy of lamentation. And ultimately, you're forgetting your relationship with me. So this prithakbhava, prithakbhava means separate, a sense of being separate from Krishna, is Maya. As soon as I forget Krishna, at once I'm in fear and anxiety. Sort of in the background of this verse, I was seeing another verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhayam dutiya vinibeshita syat. I'll pull that out for you. Ishada pe tasya aparyayo smriti. This is Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto. Bhayam dutiya vinibeshita syat. From the fear arises from this sense of being something separate from Krishna. Dutiya means second. The idea that there's something else, that there's something other than Krishna, that this is Maya. Now let's see. Should be two windows open. And there aren't. How about that? Or are there? There are. Okay. Bhayam dutiya vinibeshita syad ishada petasya vipariyo smriti. There's forgetfulness and there's a kind of backwardness. Everything's opposite to what it should be because of forgetfulness of Krishna. Tanmayato huda abhaje tam bhaktyaika bhaktya ekayesham guru devatatma. Fear arises when a living being misidentifies himself as the material body because of absorption in the external illusory energy of the Lord. When he thus turns away from the Supreme Lord, he forgets his own constitutional position as a servant of the Lord. This bewildering, fearful condition is affected by the potency for illusion called Maya. Therefore, an intelligent person should engage unflinchingly in the unalloyed devotional service of the Lord. Under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, whom he should accept as his worshipable deity and his very life and soul. Guru Deva Atma. Deva means the Lord, Atma means one's very self. So one should see the, Vishwanath Chakravarti says, one should make the instructions of the spiritual master one's life and soul. So that, according to Sridhar Swami, this purport, there's a whole discussion here, that there's no need to worship God, we just have to get free from ignorance, and then our work is done. As soon as we're in trouble because of ignorance, and as soon as we come to knowledge and know that we're also Brahma, spirit, then problem solved. So he quotes Mama Maya Duratraya, no one has to surrender to Krishna to be saved from Maya. And there's the potency of the Lord that enlightens us in the Lord's service is called Chit Shakti, the spiritual energy. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments that when the living entity develops a spirit of independence, he's forced to come to the material world where he enters into various types of petty and undesirable behavior that create a fearful situation for him. The Bahiranga Shakti, the external energy, covers all trace of the Chit Shakti, the spiritual energy, and imposes one material body after another upon the living entity for his gross sinful enjoyment. As further punishment, the living entity who has given up his loving relationship with Krishna loses all power to perceive the eternal blissful form of the Supreme Lord, who is his actual shelter. And his daddy becomes attached to all this temporary stuff. In such a state of gross ignorance, the idea of returning to one's original identity no longer even crosses his mind. And there's further discussion. In this connection, only bhakti one only becomes free by bhakti, free from fear. In this connection, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has emphasized the necessity of accepting a bona fide spiritual master who is Vrijendranandana Preshta, the dearmost servitor of the son of Nanda Maharaj, Krishna. The bona fide spiritual master is completely free from envy of other living entities. I think you were discussing that. And therefore he freely distributes knowledge of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When the living entities inimical to the service of the Lord somehow hear this knowledge submissively, they become free from the illusory potency of the Lord, which has covered them and thrown them into various miserable species of life. According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, by the mercy of the spiritual master, the faithful disciple gradually realizes the transcendental position of Lord Narayan, who is served with great awe and reverence by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. As the disciple's transcendental knowledge gradually increases, even the Paramaisharya, or supreme opulence of the Lord of Vaikuntha, becomes pale in the light of the beauty of Govinda, Krishna. Govinda has inconceivable potency to enchant and give pleasure, and by the mercy of the spiritual master, the disciple gradually develops his own blissful relationship, rasa, with Govinda. Having understood the blissful pastimes of Lakshmi Narayan, Sri Sitaram, Rukmini Dwarkadish, and finally Lord Krishna himself, the purified living entity is given the unique privilege of participating directly in the devotional service of Krishna, who becomes his only object and shelter. Well, the Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lata Bhij, by the mercy of Krishna and the spiritual master, one gets the seed of devotional service. Someplace Srila Prabhupada described that the seed is the plan or the procedures, the method, not procedures is too, the method of developing devotional service. Within the seed, the whole plan, the whole form of the creeper of devotional service is compact, as Prabhupada would say. So one gets that seed, one plants it, one waters it, and the result should be that first of all, this dvitiya, this pritak bhava, is dispelled. That I'm thinking that I'm this body, I'm thinking that I have a separate interest. There's some other interest. You know, he may have his interest, but I have my interest. I have to take care of my bodily concerns, my family life, my this, my that. And as far as possible, if it's pleasing to God, that's good. And to the extent that it's not, well, it's unfortunate. But there's a duality there. Either God's not acknowledged or he isn't acknowledged formally, and that's kind of it. But one sees a two-ness there. One doesn't see that I have no separate interest. That I'm part of Krishna, as the hand is part of the body. I'm part of Krishna, and my business is to serve Krishna. That's my whole business in life. And everything else should be arranged around that, or should contribute to that. Anukul yasya sankalpa, whatever is favorable for that, I should accept. And pratikul yasya varjanam, whatever is not favorable to that, I should give up. That's the surrendering process. And then one becomes free from the fear that arises in material life. We're always in great and petty fears on account of bodily identification, on account of separateness from Krishna. As long as Krishna is there in my consciousness, what is tatrako mahakashoka ekatvam manupashita? In the Isha Upanishad it said, what is there as illusion or anxiety for a person who sees everything as being one with Krishna? He sees individuality, he sees the material energy, sees the spiritual energy, sees the marginal energy, sees the individuality of every living being, but sees them all as integrated parts of Krishna, integrated energies of Krishna. He sees them all as being meant for the service of Krishna. Material energy is also meant for Krishna's service, not for my service. I'm also meant for Krishna's service. When one comes to this consciousness, evam gyatva na punar moham, one won't again fall into illusion. Krishna says. And that becomes possible by the instructions of the spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada emphasized that the spiritual master is present by his instructions. Physically, he may sometimes be present, sometimes not be present, but his words of instruction should be the life and soul of the disciple. Those instructions are always present. And it's by those instructions that the soul becomes freed from illusion. So it's mentioned here, somehow by hearing. We hear from the bona fide spiritual master, and by hearing these transcendental sound vibrations, the heart becomes purified, and there's an awakening process. The living entity awakens and remembers, yes, that I'm servant of Krishna. Shravanadi shuddha chitte kariya yudhoi. Nitya siddha Krishna prema sadhu karuna. This is our eternal consciousness, to be in love with Krishna. That we've forgotten. And by hearing the transcendental sound delivered from the spiritual world by the bona fide spiritual master, that forgetfulness is dispelled and one revives one's consciousness. Shravanadi, by hearing, by chanting, by serving. That's possible for one who makes the instructions of the spiritual master one's life and soul. Or Guru Devatatma, considers the spiritual master to be as good as God because he's the representative of God. Guru Devatatma. I was reading,
that led me
somehow, this verse led me to another place. There's a commentary. I don't know who's written this commentary. I suppose if I... is there an introduction or something? Okay. Anyway, this is Prema Bhartma Chandrika, which is essentially a songbook of Narottam Das Thakur. And there's this song that we chant, Sri Guru Charana Padma, Kevala Bhakti Shadma. And there... I lose where I was. Chakudan dilo jay janme janme prabhu shay. Dibya gyan hriday prakashito. The person from who's given me the gift of transcendental knowledge, he's my Lord birth after birth. Dibya gyan hriday prakashito. Spiritual knowledge is manifest in the heart by the mercy of the bona fide spiritual master. Prema bhakti jaha hoite avidya vinash jate. So prema bhakti, love for Krishna, arises, and avidya, ignorance, vinash, is finished. Bede gai jaha. Therefore, the Vedic literature tells about these qualities. There's a purport here, and again, I apologize, I don't know who's written this purport, but it's good. Sri Krishna is my Lord, and I am his eternal servant. This constitutional position has been forgotten by the living entities from time immemorial. Taking this opportunity, the external energy of the Supreme Lord, Maya, has entangled the living entities in unlimited material miseries and caused them to accept the material body made of ignorance as their own self. The spiritual master alone is able to deliver such living entities from the miseries of material existence and establish them in their constitutional position. Phrase Chakudan Dilo Jay indicates that the spiritual master opens our darkened eyes, covered with nescience, and awards divine vision with which we can see the ocean of material existence and become qualified to behold the higher spiritual reality. The words Divya Gyan, there's not a whole lot more reading here, a little bit more, refer to the knowledge through which one can learn how to worship Krishna. It is understood that much knowledge can be revealed in one's heart, such knowledge only by the mercy of Sri Guru. The word Divya Gyan also means transcendental knowledge in the form of initiation into the teachings of Sri Krishna. It is stated in Hari Bhakti Vilas, a very famous verse, Divya Gyanam Yato Dadyat Kuryat Papasya Sankshayam Tasmad Dikshayati sa prokta deshike tatvakovidaha. When one is initiated into the knowledge of Krishna and his relationship with Krishna is revived, it is to be understood that he's educated in transcendental knowledge. The word janme janme prabhu means that the spiritual master is able to remove the coverings of nescience of the living entities born in this material world, and is able to engage the living entities in the loving service of Govinda, Sri Govinda, the transcendental coward boy of Brajmandal, which is beyond the realm of Maya. Therefore, whether one is in the practicing stage or one is in the perfected stage, the spiritual master is always one's worshipable Lord. The words Vede Gai indicate that not only Narottam Das Thakur glorifies the spiritual master, but the Vedas and the supplementary Vedic scriptures also glorify the spiritual master. As stated by Lord Krishna to Uddhava in Srimad Bhagavatam, Acharya Mam Vijaniyat, one should consider the spiritual master as non-different from me. Also, it is stated in the Vedas, Acharyavan Purusho Veda, one who associates with the Acharya can become familiar with all the Vedic knowledge. There was a lot there, and maybe rather than speak on, I'll see what kind of questions you might have.
I would just like to have your take on the first thing that came to my mind when you said the thing about the sounds and hearing and faith coming from that was, and a long time ago, as a child, I grew up Christian, and the verse that says that Jesus said, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That is exactly, I mean, one phrase that maps perfectly onto what you're saying. And then I just wanted to say that.
Perfect.
I didn't understand that until just that moment when you said that.
Let's hear that verse again.
Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Thank you.
I don't remember the verse, sorry.
We can find it.
Prior to this, Krishna was talking about all the various sacrifices. This sacrifice, that sacrifice, and then he comes to this verse. Is he talking about learning how to do all those different sacrifices only through the agency of the spiritual master?
No. It's not that one, because he says some people are going to do this, some people are going to do that, some people will do this, some people will do that. It's not that one has to do everything. But he says that tatvidhi, you'll understand that. Tat means the truth about all these sacrifices. Tatvidhi pranipate, by surrendering to the spiritual master. We can imagine a medicine shop. Some people take this, and some people take that, and some people take this, and some people take that. And some people get cured by taking this medicine, some people get cured by taking that medicine. But if you want to know what medicine to take, then you have to go to the qualified physician, and he says, the right medicine for you is this. Some may take this, some may take that, but for you, I have my doctor, and he doesn't tell me, you know, whatever's the strongest medicine, take that. He tells me, for you, this medicine. So one has to know, out of all this, you know, you can get to be a little much, because some, the unadulterated brahmacharis, practice this. Some, the self-controlled householders, practice that. Some do this. What should I do? Therefore, the spiritual master's guidance is there. Particularly now, there are so many yajñas, which one should I do? The Sankirtan yajña is recommended. How should I do that? The spiritual master guides us how to be engaged in Sankirtan. It's easy, everyone can sing and dance. There was a time in Back to Godhead when there were some sort of endorsements solicited to be published in the magazine about the chanting of the Maha Mantra, and people would say that I sleep better at night since I began chanting. I My relationships with my family are so much better since I've begun chanting. And some famous people also put in their two cents about the benefit of chanting. And some devotees complained that this was sort of compromising. And the Prabhupada discussed it with the person in charge. And the person said, well, we want to popularize the chanting. We want to encourage people to chant. And you encouraged everyone to chant without discrimination, without any rules or barriers. Just get them chanting. And Prabhupada said, yes. He said, but they must come to the process. They must come to the process. And otherwise it will become nama-aparad. The chanting will remain offensive. It won't become effective to the extent that it should be. And we actually saw that with some of those famous people, that because they didn't take up the process, they chanted, but they didn't take up the devotional life. So they got confused and thought, some thought that they were God and some thought they were something else, but they didn't get the right idea. So the spiritual master gives us the process by which we become freed from Maya, by which we realize our eternal relationship with Krishna. And that was that one place where Prabhupada explained that Bhakti Lata Bij means the process of devotional service. It's here, it's Shravanadi Shunda Chitte, it's especially hearing and chanting. But there's a whole life there. It's not just I hear, I chant, and well, what else happens? The spiritual master becomes our guide for our whole life. How to get us out of this entanglement and restore us to our relationship with Krishna. Is that okay? Mm-hmm.
So you said that the spiritual master, that we should perceive him as God, because as our pathway to.
Yeah. Sakshat Hari Tena Samasta Shastra. His spiritual master is honored as much as God, Kintu Prabhu Yapriya Evatasya, because he's very dear to God. Not that he's God, but that he's, what was it, Prajendra Nandana Preshta? Is that what it said? He's very dear to Krishna. So he's honored as much as Krishna. Prabhupada quoted, love me, love my dog. Prabhupada explained, he said, you meet some man on the street and he says, oh, what a nice dog you have. The man says, oh yes, he's a very good dog. Yes.
There is a poem in India which says, if God and Guru comes together in front of me, if I am in this dilemma whose feet I should touch first, and this poetry says, I will touch my Guru's feet first, then God, because of this Guru, I was able to meet the God. Mm.
Yes. For that matter, it's even in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in Nectar of Devotion, that if one is worshipping the deity, one can stop worshipping the deity to serve a Vaishnava. The Vaishnava comes in the temple, no, I can't do anything for you, I'm worshipping the... No, you can put aside the worship of the deity to serve the Vaishnava. Madhpakta puja vyadika. The Prabhupada used to quote that the worship of the devotee is higher than the worship of the Lord. The Lord appreciates it more. The neophyte, that's the symptom of the neophyte, that he thinks about himself and God. And he doesn't have regard for other devotees. But the more advanced person sees the Lord, the devotee, the innocent persons, the inimical persons. He avoids the inimical, he worships the Lord, he makes friends with the devotees. And he tries to enlighten the innocent. And the highest devotee sees everyone engaged in the service of the Lord. And that we can't imitate. But at least we shouldn't be on the third class
You should try to come to the second class.
We saw that some of our contemporaries in the beginning, they were so overwhelmed with the association of someone at the level of purity of our, as our spiritual master, that they actually began to think he was God. And he, could you relate that incident?
Oh, yeah,
and give us a forecourt?
It's quite a famous incident there. Maybe around 1970, thereabouts, there were some, Prabhupada had made four sannyasis at that point, only five. And four, I think only five. And so they were very highly regarded, you know, sannyasis, wow. And four of them came to, there was at that time, many devotees for Janmashtami, the big festival, especially on the East Coast, was in New Vrindavan. Devotees used to go from all the different centers to New Vrindavan and spend Janmashtami and Vyas Puja and so on. And these four sannyasis came, attended the festival, and they began preaching to the devotees that we've offended Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada at that time had left America for Japan, and he'd said some sort of mysterious things indicating that he was dissatisfied in some way, and therefore he was going to Japan. I believe that was the sequence. And these sannyasis began preaching that we've offended Srila Prabhupada because we haven't recognized who he is. And he's come right into our midst, you know, sort of the way Christian preachers, you know, God gave his only begotten son, and we're so wretched and so rotten, so debased in our chasing of the lusts of our senses, that we've become abominable in the sight of God, you know. So they began sort of in that mood, you know, just making the devotees feel as bad as they possibly could for having failed to realize who Prabhupada was. That Prabhupada was in fact Krishna himself. And these devotees, and we had, in our fallen, debased nature, had failed to recognize him. And so they were speaking this way, and devotees were crying and, you know, feeling just so bad. And a few of the devotees, in the breaks between the discourses, a few of the leading devotees, some of the then GB or early members of the GBC, Hayagriva Prabhu being prominent, I think, among them at the time. During the break, they got together and said, "Hold on a second. That's not what Prabhupada taught us. He always said that he was the servant of God." And the lights started going on, and they started thinking, "Wait a second, these fellows are saying something that's not right." And they came back from, I think they were taking a bath in the river or something. Anyway, they came back and there started to be an exchange of views there, in which those men said, "No, that's not what Prabhupada taught." And this is, I wasn't there in New Vrindavan, but that was what took place. And the result was that the devotees who'd gone to New Vrindavan for inspiration and renewal wound up with their minds spinning and confused. And finally it came to Srila Prabhupada. This was in the days before email, so it took a little while. And Prabhupada came back and firmly on the side of the objecting party, and was so firm on it that he said that these sannyasis had to go out of ISKCON. That as long as they had these ideas, they were not, you know, they were contaminated, and they should go out and do something. They should be sent them out preaching, actually.
But there were three of them, is that correct? Is that right, yes?
No, there were four.
There were four?
Mm.
Oh.
Yeah. You can name them offline, but there were four. Yes?
Was that punishment or repurposing?
Well, Srila Prabhupada said that there's no punishment in Krishna consciousness. There's only reward.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's the right
attitude.
Just to bang someone over the head, but it was for their reformation. That was the point.
Did they eventually return back?
They did. And then not too long a time. And Prabhupada also traced out a whole conspiracy that Prabhupada said was behind it, that there'd been some something had filtered in from India from a third party. And that these devotees had become contaminated in that way. Prabhupada traced a whole conspiracy there. And anyway, it was rectified. There are certain Mayavadi philosophers who are, or gurus who are acclaimed as God by their followers, and they're challenged that you say that you're God, and they say, no, I don't say that I'm God. My followers say that I'm God. What can I do? So Srila Prabhupada set the example of what you can do. You can kick those guys out on their butts. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for coming.
Hare Krishna.
In the Mangala Artik prayer, it states that without the grace of the spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement. Mm. Is it that one cannot make any advancement, or is it that they can make advancement to a point to maybe qualify yourself to be accepted by a spiritual master, and then he can, I guess, take you the rest of the way? Or
well, literally, yasya prasada nagatir gatopi. He has no destination. Or Srila Prabhupada sometimes translates, he's nowhere.
Yeah.
So, frame that question again for me. Is it
in the Mangala Artik prayers, it states that without the grace of the spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement. Is it that he cannot make any advancement, or is it that he can make maybe advancement enough to qualify himself to be accepted by a spiritual master?
Yes. It's not that, otherwise how does one come to the spiritual master?
Yeah.
So that's there. One is searching for the truth, one is searching for God, or one is searching for spiritual enlightenment. And somehow or other, Guru Krishna Prasad, by the mercy of Krishna, one comes into contact with a devotee, one comes into contact with a bona fide spiritual master. And then by the grace of the spiritual master, one makes further progress. So, unless I can make at least that enough progress to meet the spiritual master, I can't get started.
Yes.
So at least that has to be there. Or another way of looking at that verse is that if one displeases the spiritual master, prasada means, one meaning is mercy, another meaning is satisfaction. If the spiritual master is satisfied, then Krishna is satisfied. If I dissatisfy my spiritual master, then I'm nowhere. If I offend my spiritual master, we were discussing yesterday, or a couple of days ago, that Srila Prabhupada explained his success in spreading the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. He said, my spiritual master liked me, that's all.
Is his only qualification.
Right? He said, that's it. He said, my spiritual master lied to me. That's it. Of course, but anyway, if the spiritual master is pleased, then your all success is there in spiritual life. And if he's displeased, the displeasure of the spiritual master is very detrimental to the progress, to one's progress. And one displeases the spiritual master, one offends the spiritual master, one can wipe out, practically speaking, depending on the severity. But if one offends the spiritual master, that is worse than offending Krishna. Krishna is more pleased when we serve the devotee, but he's more offended when we offend the devotee. One should very carefully, bandho mi savadhana mate. I bow down to his feet with great awe and reverence. Savadhan means? Carefully. When there's a railway crossing or something in India, the sign says savadhan.
Be aware.
Huh?
Be aware.
Caution. Watch out.
That's the better word.
That's caution. We have to deal with the spiritual master very cautiously. He's very merciful. He's very kind. But we want to be very careful because we know that we have the nature of being egotistical, thinking we're hot stuff. And if we start to break that out in the presence of the spiritual master, think that we know more than the spiritual master, that spiritual master is an ordinary living being. Then we're finished. Then we ruin our spiritual life. So Savadhan, with great care, great caution, that I'm dealing with Krishna, as the devotee of Krishna, so I have to be very pranipatena, pariprasnena, sevya. I have to be very humble. I have to surrender. I have to render service. I can't be proud and arrogant and I know something you don't know. And very carefully, savadhan. Because we don't want to ruin our spirit. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very vividly describes, we're getting the seed of devotional service from the spiritual master. We're watering the seed. The plant is growing, it's growing, it's growing, it's growing. The weeds are growing up, but we're pulling up the weeds and fencing in the plant very nicely, and it's growing. But if a mad elephant comes into the garden, stomping its feet and waving its trunk, then it's finished. Offense to the spiritual master is called mad elephant offense.
What are the characteristics or traits of a spiritual master? How do you recognize?
The Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam Tasmad Gurum Prapadyeta Jigyasu Shreya Uttamam Shabdev Pradeja Nishnatam Brahmani Simukumashreya. Elsewhere in the Vedas. Tadvijnanartam sadguru eva abhigacchet samidpani shrotriyam brahmanishtam. One must approach a spiritual master. If one wants to get the actual vijnanartam, the real meaning of knowledge, the essence of knowledge, the real benefit of knowledge, if one wants to get realization, one must approach a spiritual master. Then what are the characteristics? Shrotriyam and Brahmanishtam. Shrotriyam means he has to come in the parampara system. He has to have heard. We're asked to become enlightened by hearing, by a person who's followed that process of hearing. So Shrotriyam, he's not just saying, well, I think this and my realization is that. But he's transmitting spiritual sound originating from Krishna. So Shrotriyam, he's coming in the parampara system, and Brahmanishta, he has full faith in Krishna. Brahmanishta, Brahma means Krishna, Nishta means firm faith. Shabde Pare Tradishnatam Brahmani Sumabhamashri. It means the same thing, actually. Shabde Pare Tradishnatam Brahmani Sumabhamashri. He's heard from the authorities, and his firm faith is there in Krishna consciousness. And then how will that be manifested? He'll be dedicated to Krishna. He'll always be speaking about Krishna. He'll always be engaged in the service of Krishna.
Thank you.
Prabhupada said he's addicted to Krishna. Yes? You had a question?
I did.
It's okay.
My brain's kind of squirting out here.
I wonder if you are, in fact, also basically saying, or if it would be fair to compare the words of the spiritual master as sort of a sanctified knowledge, as opposed to hearing it from a person on the street who just picked up, you know, scriptures and just started reading, comparing that to food that is properly blessed and offered to the Lord, because there's a manifest difference.
Yeah, the words have a certain potency of their own, but when they're spoken by a self-realized soul, there's greater, maybe far greater potency. In the Bhagavatam it said even that when we hear this vibration in the association of devotees, sattam, of pure devotees, mamavirya sambhagam, then the power, the strength of that message is manifest. Then shraddha ratir bhaktir nukarishati, then faith, attraction, and pure devotional service follows step by step.
Would it also, I mean, this sounds very simplistic, but maybe helpful. Would it also be fair to compare or liken the role of the spiritual master on the spiritual path to the role of the sensei or other kind of, you know, system master, you know, that exists out there?
Well, probably he used to compare him to the, again, to the guru means teacher. So in one sense, he's a teacher. If you want to learn anything, you want to learn mathematics, you want to learn sitar, you want to learn electronics, you want to learn surgery, you have to approach a teacher. So the spiritual master, in most plain sense, is a teacher, or Prabhupada said a professor. You know, any of these people who want to write a book, who want to do a thesis, they have to approach a professor and be guided in their thesis. They can't just say, well, I'm going to write a thesis. They have to meet certain, you have to pay some money. They have to meet certain requirements.
Guidelines.
And they have to they have to work under the direction of their thesis advisor and become themselves PhDs. In that way, they have passed a test and so on. So Prabhupada sometimes called the spiritual master professor of transcendental knowledge. But that's the difference, that these other people are professors of mundane knowledge. And to be a professor of mundane knowledge, okay, you can drink, you can smoke, you can be a woman hunter, you can be all of these things. You can become a professor of Sanskrit and still be all of those things, because none of those considerations are considered relevant. But in the transcendental realm, it's different. Bhaktosime sakacheti rahasyam yetarutam. Krishna told Arjuna, I'm speaking to you this science to you, not to a Brahmin, not to a sannyasi, not to a sage, but to a householder, to a military man, because you're my devotee and you're my friend. And so you can understand rahasya, the secret of Bhagavad Gita. So the implication is that others can't. And one to penetrate bhaktya mam abhijanati, Krishna says, to understand me is possible only by devotional service. not by speculative knowledge, not by pious activities, not by yoga, not by any other method, kevalayabhaktya, only by devotional service. So to be a professor of Krishna consciousness, one has to be a devotee of Krishna. Otherwise he's one of those, he's licking the bottle of honey. He's not, he's not inside. Yes?
What if, this is not meant to be a polemic or problematic question nor referring to anything specific, but just a principle. No, it's just a principle, no buts. No yabbits here. Sometimes the instructions of a spiritual master are remembered differently by disciples. And what's the proper way to resolve this when the guru is no longer present and each one is remembering a shastra quote or a guru quote that substantiates their point of view?
There's sort of a public dimension to that and a private dimension to that. Private dimension is that finally everyone has to understand the instructions he's received to the best of his honest ability. I can't just go by votes. Well, you know, there were 13 people there and they say I'm wrong, so I'm wrong. One still has to follow his conviction. Of course, one should be intelligent to consider, well, 13 people over there say I'm wrong. I wonder if there's a possibility that I'm wrong. One should be humble. But finally, after honest consideration, honest introspection, if one concludes that this is what my spiritual master has told me, that I have to be faithful to the words of my spiritual master. That's my life and soul. So that's in one sense the private dimension, that I have to make these words. I have to finally understand them myself. I can't fail to take on that task of. Now, maybe the way I understand it is, okay, this is what my seniors are telling me or what others are telling me, and they know better than I do, and I take it that way. That's also possible. It's not that, no, I have to be obstinate. But if in one's mature consideration one believes that one has it right, then he's entitled to that. His own understanding of what the spiritual master has said. Now the public question comes because I've understood it this way, you've understood it that way, and the third man has understood it that way. And therefore Prabhupada said we should try to cooperate. That was his indication. Because this is the age of quarrel. We're all going to disagree about something, and usually about important things. And it's easy to go to war. And how much is that going to help us? Prabhupada sometimes told us to try to resolve such matters by discussion. Mayapur, he said, come together once a year in Mayapur and discuss. So, as far as possible, disagreements should be settled by discussion, by careful, respectful discourse. And if it's not settleable, then we have to somehow or other live with that. Ideally, we don't need to bash our contemporaries. I suppose there are circumstances under which one does, Kaviraj Goswami does bash some of his contemporaries for being so far gone, so far opposed to teachings of Lord Chaitanya that he said, I just mentioned them to distinguish them from the real item. They're so rejected that I shouldn't even talk about them, but just
just to distinguish them from the real thing, I'm mentioning them. So sometimes such things may have to be there, but to turn every difference of opinion into a cause for war may not be the best approach to following the teachings of Lord Chaitanya.
Yes?
In relation to that, I think it's important that we remember that even Krishna's contemporaries and Krishna didn't agree on certain items. Krishna and Balaram didn't agree on the Battle of Kurukshetra.
Yeah, Krishna disagrees with himself.
They certainly didn't agree after Asvatthama how to deal with him, what was the proper punishment. Mm-hmm. Everybody had a different opinion.
Yeah, therefore Krishna had to step in. Therefore, disagreements are best. The point of harmony is the point of our mutual interest. As soon as we forget Krishna, then everything splits into a million pieces. Prabhupada gave the example of throwing rocks in a pond. You throw one here, you throw one there, and they make circles, and the circles intersect, and you get interference patterns. But if you throw all the rocks in the same place, you get concentric circles. So when we remember our center, then that helps us to be in proper relationship. In one sense, that's why the world is at war. We've forgotten Krishna, and now I'm claiming, well, this is mine, and someone else is claiming, no, it's mine, and everybody's got a different center of self-interest. But when you remember the center of self-interest as being Krishna, he's the owner of everything, he's the friend of every living being, he's the enjoyer of everything, then there can be peace.
Is there any difference between gurus? Should we perceive any difference? Should it matter to us if there were four gurus standing before us? How will we know which one was our guru? Hmm.
There's both things are there, that there's oneness and there's difference, as so often happens in our philosophy.
There's difference. Everyone is an individual. Each guru is an individual living being, and may have his own presentation. And yet, it's said that guru is one. And Prabhupada, in his address to his godbrothers, and published in Back to God in a famous address, he said there's no difference between the gurus. Krishna Jagat Guru. There's really only one guru, finally, that's Krishna. What is that? In the 11th chapter of Universal Form, Krishna, Arjuna is praying to you, you're the guru of everyone. So finally, it's Krishna who's the guru of everyone, and he's coming in different forms. He's coming in different forms. So he's coming as my guru, he's coming as your guru, he's coming as so many forms, as the bona fide spiritual master. And the bona fide spiritual masters are all teaching the same thing, surrender to Krishna. Now, they may differ on details, Prabhupada explains in the Nectar of Devotion. You know, someone may say one thing and someone may say another thing regarding details. Someone may say, you fast on Ekadasi completely, and someone says, well, just fast till noon, and another says, well, just don't eat grains and beans. So that's a detail. That's a detail. The main principle is to undergo some austerity to increase our devotion to Krishna, to increase our consciousness of Krishna. Now, precisely which details we follow may differ from... Just like in medical schools, you know, there's so many medical schools, and there's some principles that apply across the board. But precisely how they teach medicine at Yale and how they teach it at Harvard may differ. or how they teach at Columbia Medical School, may differ in details, but not in the basic principles. They're not going to teach you in one school that you follow the scientific process, in another school, you know, that you put on masks and do some voodoo. The basic principles of medical science will be across the board, but precisely how it's taught, precisely how it's imparted, may differ from school to school.
Mm-hmm. Could you elaborate a little more on that relationship to, so we have our four gurus, and they're spiritually, the qualification seems to be the same.
Four gurus?
Like you mentioned, like we have four gurus, and I'm trying to decide amongst those four who is my guru. And I see that they all seem to be pretty spiritual people.
Then the
is there another level after that? Since I can see with these, I can see something good in all, but is there some attraction?
Yeah, that's the principle. First we see, assuming, you know, standard, that everyone has the necessary qualifications, they're coming in the parampara system, they're showing full dedication to Krishna. Then someone may, I may feel more inspiration somewhere. Or I may get some more reciprocation. You know, I ask the four gurus a question, and one says, well, could you send me an email? And another says, well, I don't know. And another person says something else. And the fourth one says, well, that's really a good question. And, you know, takes the time out and you know, takes an interest in you. It's not to say there's anything wrong with the other, but somehow or other he sees something in you. He thinks, here's a nice boy, and, you know, that's a good question, and let me spend, and you feel some reciprocation. Not to say that anyone's less qualified, but somehow he turned his eye on you and you felt some reciprocation there, and you got inspired. And the others also inspired you, but this one, you know, really got you going.
Mm-hmm. I might even check. It almost feels like the concept of the muse.
Mm-hmm.
The artist and the muse, except, you know, because what the artist is doing is completely focusing into the channel that's being provided to access whatever the mysterious inspiration is and then produce from that.
Mm-hmm.
That's helping.
The muse
right
is
now
supposed to be like a divine agent for creativity and so on.
Yeah, so oftentimes people personify that in a thing or a person, unfortunately, but obviously Krishna is the ultimate muse.
Krishna, it's Krishna who's coming to us in the form of the spiritual master. Krishna is coming to us in the form of the spiritual master. And Krishna, of course, is coming to us in the form of the other Vaishnavas also. Krishna is coming to us in all over the place. For the person who's receptive, he's coming to us in scripture, he's coming to us in the form of the holy name, he's coming to us in the form of advanced devotees. He's coming to us in the form of the spiritual master. He's coming in the form of the deity. He's coming in the form of prasadam. He's coming in the form of the sun. He's coming in the form of the moon. He's coming in the form of the taste of water. He's coming this way. He's coming that way. For the person who's receptive or open or looking, Krishna's coming in so many ways. So that's, yeah, no, again, not that, no, just my guru and Krishna. My guru and Krishna, and everything else is like off the board. That's the neophyte. And the more advanced devotee appreciates that there are other Vaishnavas, that there are other manifestations of Krishna, and I can appreciate there. Doesn't mean that I neglect my guru. Again, just that I'm going to Harvard doesn't mean I say that, well, Yale, you know, they don't know what they're doing. Just because I got admitted, and, you know, maybe it's just that I got admitted in one and not in the other,
whether I was attracted to one and more than the other. I like the way they do their instruction at one or the other. But it doesn't mean that the other guys are all, you know, fools. That's such an arrogant mentality. So one should try to appreciate and others, other Vaishnavas. And at the minimum, one should try not to offend other Vaishnavas. That's also corrosive, as it's corrosive to devotional service to offend one's own spiritual master. That's the maximum. But it's also corrosive to offend other Vaishnavas. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us, amanina manane. If we want to chant Hare Krishna, then we should be more humble than the grass. And we should be ready to offer respect to everyone. We don't want respect, but we want to give respect. And the materialist is the opposite. He wants to be up by knocking everyone else. If everyone else is knocked down, then I'm up. But the Vaishnava mentality is that if I'm down, then I'm in the best position. Krishna's Patita Pavana, he's the uplifter of the most fallen. Narottam Das Thakur says, there's no one, if you're the Patita Pavana, then I'm the Pati. You're the lifter, uplifter of the most fallen. Here I am. Here are my credentials. I'm the most fallen. My claim comes first. So better always to take that. That humble position, and humble means giving respect to others, appreciating that he's also Vaishnava, he's also Vaishnava. Shall we wrap up here? I'm looking for instructions. Do we stop here?
Well, it just depends. Does anybody have any other questions? I mean, this is an opportunity to.
So, this is actually my very first meeting. Although I've been preparing, I've been guided, let's just say, by wonderful devotees and other synchronicities that have brought me to this place. I feel as though the process of surrender, or the process towards getting to the point where one is ready to receive the guidance of the guru, to be chosen, seems to come. It seems that first one must see the, I guess, seeds in all devotees and appreciate those seeds first, fully, before one could begin to approach the guru in a way of, or does the guru help the
devotees? Well, that would be ideal. Ideally, we'd like to appreciate everyone and see the guru of our choice as the one who's most, what would you say, where I see Krishna coming to me. Sometimes we may not have that fortunate outlook. We may not have so much appreciation of other Vaishnavas. We may be, because that's the characteristic of a neophyte, is that he may not appreciate others. That's the sign of the cardinal sign of his neophyte mentality, is that he really doesn't have very broad vision at all. So, but he's not disqualified. If he takes shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, then it's expected that by the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, his illusions will clear up, his misconceptions will clear up, and he'll get a broader vision. So if he comes with a broader vision, that's wonderful. But if he doesn't have it, then by approaching a bona fide spiritual master, then he should come to that understanding.
I was reading something by Srila Prabhupada, and I was struck by the statement about intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And because I've been thinking this myself, but I had never run across any spiritual master of any sort yet, or any text that really speaks to intelligence as a factor. And so, being exposed now to Krishna consciousness, it occurs to me, or I'm curious, if there isn't sort of an understanding that awakening, you know, is sort of is a process of gaining spiritual intelligence, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's a whole different kind of intelligence, similar to the way they say there's emotional intelligence, and then there's raw, you know, calculating intelligence, and things like that. And that by not, well, I feel wonderful that I came to this, but by not having that understanding in other spiritual paths that may be equally valid, something is lost because there's too much limbo. There's like, I can be smart enough, I know this well enough, and then what happens is the attachment to material reality gets fused with the process of religious practice, which then diminishes the spiritual potency, I suppose. You can't progress.
Yeah, if one simply becomes attached to a sectarian outlook and feels that I've joined this church, and because I'm a member of this church, I'm among those fortunate souls who've attained perfection, regardless of what's going on in my heart, regardless of my regardless of what's going on in my heart, just my membership card, sort of my ticket to the spiritual world, that has something lacking to it. In one sense, to join a spiritual organization is healthy in the sense that, well, I will do certain things. I will say prayers. I will perform certain rituals indicating my subservience to God. And these things should help me. I should associate with, I should attend functions where different things are done that will invoke my God consciousness. But it's not just membership in itself that entitles me. And again, to think that God is only in my church is the sign of the neophyte mentality. So we have dissension all over the world. Because my God is, no, he's not in the church, he's in the mosque. No, he's not in the mosque, he's in the mandir. He's not in the mandir, he's, you know, whatever it is. He's in my building, he's not in your building. He's in my book, he's not in your book. He's in my service, he's not in your service. And somehow or other we try to monopolize God as if he were, yeah, we try to claim a monopoly or having an exclusive channel. So there may be methods that are more effective. There may be methods that may be less effective. There may be literature where there's more information. There may be literature where there's less information. But an advanced devotee will appreciate that God is coming, even in the practices of the neophyte. The most advanced devotee sees he's engaged in the service of Krishna. And even devotees in the medium stage will see, well, he's a neophyte, but hey, a neophyte is a great thing. That's mentioned, we were reading Nectar of Instruction. Krishneti asya giritam manasadvita. That doesn't matter, he's not initiated yet. He's chanting the holy name of Krishna. I have to offer him my respect. Now, he may not have gone very far in the process, but he's chanting the holy name of God. I offer him my respect. Not, well, I'm sorry, he's not an archbishop. Or he's not a sannyasi. No, he's chanting the holy name of God. I have to offer him my respect.
even the acharyas, the teachers, say that if you see someone who's totally dedicated to the service of God, but he's got some bad habits, something's left over from his material life, then you should still offer him obeisances, still offer him respect. Maybe from a distance. But still, you'll see, oh, he's engaged in the service.
I've had one question. I mean, I don't even know if I can put it in words, but you're talking about the offer respects to the people on this path. And then you were bringing in other religions, and you were saying that, they say, look, the earth god is here, and the earth god's in here, and it's all compartmentalized into all these different places. And in reality, it's all the same God.
Yes.
And so I was thinking in my mind, isn't it important to offer respects to anybody?
It's said that a Vaishnav will offer respect even to the ants. It doesn't matter that he's not chanting the holy name. He's part of Krishna. We were talking earlier about this separatist mentality. We see everything separate from Krishna. The devotee sees everything in connection with Krishna. The ant is also a living entity. I shouldn't cause trouble even to the ant. And then what to speak of a human being? Or what to speak of a human being who's chanting the holy name of God? Or who in some way is trying to make spiritual progress? Now, it doesn't mean that we, any sort of rubbish thing, we say, that's... Because you get to a sort of sloppy sentimentality where people are doing any sort of concocted process and we say, that's his way. Prabhupada wasn't namby-pamby. People who were concocting something contrary to the devotional process. He was pretty blessed as a matter of kindness. So it's not that we have to be, sort of enter a gauzy realm where we can't discriminate between anything and anything else. We do. We see, here's someone who's more advanced, here's someone other. How can you relate to people? If you can't see, how do you surrender to a guru? Then you'll surrender to the milkman, You'll say, he's distributing milk and the cows are dear to Krishna, and so the milkman is my guru. We need to be able to see. Therefore, Rupa Goswami instructs us. There are those who are beginners. There are those who are very advanced. Nindadi shunya hridam ipsita sangalabha. Those whose hearts are completely devoid of ability to criticize others. Shushushaya bhajanavityam. Those who are expert in serving the Lord. Ananya Manya, who have no other interests, whose hearts are pure. So he teaches us to discriminate between first-class devotees, or between intermediate devotees, or beginning devotees. Again, the innocent people, those who are opposed to devotional service, we want to deal with them differently. Those who are opposed, we're going to... let them go and do what they want at a distance. Those who are less advanced, we're going to try and do something for them. We're going to try and help them. Those who are on the same level as us, we want to make friends with. We can make progress together. Those who are more advanced, we want to serve and surrender to. Rupa Goswami is teaching us to not to see everything as just applesauce.
So,
I'm
sorry.
Okay.
We can keep questions and answers during prasad. Okay?
Thank you all very much.
Do you want your milk sweetened?
Yeah.
With agave or sugar or what?
Not particular, but not honey. Not honey, but sugar's fine.
Okay.
Sugar.
What?